Y'all ready?
Amen.
All right. The Lord
is my shepherd.
I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, mold us again into our hearts for your glory, in Jesus' name. And all God's children said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. And again, we're just going to look at the first phrase of verse 2. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Now, let me ask you a question. Right now, as you sit there, would you say in your heart that you're at rest or that you're not at rest? And you say, what do you mean by what is rest? Well, I'm not talking about you're sitting down there for your physically rest. I'm talking about, are you at rest? Are you at peace with who you are in Christ, who Christ is in you, where you're at in your life, what God's doing in your life? Are you at rest or are you not in rest? And really, this passage has everything to do with rest. Now, I want to make this statement just as an introduction. There is no rest without Christ. He is our rest, okay? And so we need to understand that first and foremost. Now, when we look at this passage, what we're going to find is we're going to find how a shepherd brings his sheep to a place where they can rest. Now, for that to take place, the shepherd has to remove some things, and the shepherd has to prepare some things, and the shepherd has to provide some things. And all of these are wonderful and amazing pictures of what the Lord Jesus, our rest, does for us. And so as we look at this passage, we're going to look first at the subjects of peaceful rest. I just wanted to throw this in because he uses this personal pronoun, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, you say, what do you mean the subject of peaceful rest? Well, I'm going to go back to verse 1. Now, what we've looked at in verse 1 in the last three sermons now. What we looked at in verse 1, from verse 2 through verse 6, is unpacking what's in verse 1. So in other words, as David says, the Lord is my shepherd, then we're going to find out in verses 2 through verses 6 what it means for him to be your shepherd. And then when he uses the term, I shall not want, or as I told you this morning how it reads in the Hebrew, it reads, in nothing I am lacking. Verse 2 through verse 6 is going to tell us why, because he's our shepherd, we lack nothing in him. And so when we begin verse 2, we're going to begin to unpack the truth of verse 1. And we're going to be able to get into detail of what David was saying in verse 1. It's almost like David makes these infinitive statements in verse 1, these two profound statements, and he says, now let me tell you why I can say that. And that's really what verse 2 through verse 6 says. So therefore, to be the subject of this peaceful rest is to be those that know first and foremost that they have a shepherd, know secondly that as their shepherd, they are lacking nothing, and therefore, you and I, in Christ, we understand who he is in our life, and we understand what he's done for us and what he's doing in us. Now, until we get to that place, we'll never, ever find true rest. And that is the key to what the Bible calls true rest. It's all found in the person of Christ Jesus. Now, I'll give you a contrast to this. Isaiah 57:20 says it this way. The wicked are like the troubled sea. When it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. So in other words, when we're not walking in the relationship that we have with Christ, or we have not a relationship with Christ, listen, there's no rest for those that are not in Christ. I mean, you can do everything you want to try to do to find peaceful rest. You're not going to find it outside of the person of the Lord Jesus. And so we need to understand that. And we just need to, I just wanted to remind us of that truth that we already know. But now I want us to look at the secondly, the source of peaceful rest. Jesus said this in Matthew 11. You know this verse very well. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you what?
Rest.
And so, in other words, the Lord just here lays it out, and he said, listen, if you're not at rest, come unto me. And he said, in me, you will find rest. And so what makes a sheep rest in these green pastures is because the shepherd has brought them there, and the shepherd is there for and with them. Now, let's break this down a little bit. And I want to break this verse down just a little bit. There's three components of this rest that we see here as the source. First thing is, he leads me. Now, you don't find that in the first part of verse 2, but you find it in the second part of verse 2. He leads me beside the still waters. And the implication in the original Hebrew is, as he leads me by the still waters, how did they get to the green pastures? He led them. And so, in other words, he brought them to these green pastures. So the picture here is that the shepherd is the one that led them to a place where they could rest. Now you say, well, how does he lead me to a place that I would rest? Well, the green pastures speak of what? It speaks of the Word of God, feeding upon the Word of God. And so it speaks of that realm in which God leads us to the truth, leads us to the Word, and as he leads us to the Word, we find in the Word all that he is for us and all that we are in him, and we can now find rest. And you can rest in the truth of God's Word. It's an amazing thing. And when you really think about it, now, here's the thing. The Bible calls pastors or teachers of the Word, those called to preach the Word, he calls them under shepherds. Now you say, where do you find that? Well, you don't find it in English, you find it in the Greek. When you find in the book of Acts, it says pastor teachers. It's the same Greek word, and it means shepherd. And so, in other words, listen, as a pastor, I'm not your shepherd, I'm your under shepherd. Now you say, what's the difference? Well, listen, I can't do for you what Jesus can do. Amen. Y'all with me? But as the under shepherd, I'm called and I'm to what? Feed and lead you and I through truth that we can rest in our great shepherd. And that's the picture that we have. And this is what David would understand as being a shepherd himself. Now, let me give you some verses that help you be able to gravitate to this. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the what? Flock. Here it is again. Over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Same thing. The elders, being the pastors. All right? The elders which are among you, I exhort, whom am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, in other words, not to gain an advantage, but of a ready mind. In other words, what he's saying here is he's exhorting these that are called to preach the word. He said, listen, understand your role. Your role is to feed the flock of God. And so, if rest comes through him, and he is the Word made flesh, then here's the corresponding truth. You cannot rest if you're not continuously in and under His Word. I mean, listen, folks. Why am I so passionate about people being under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God? Because it's where you find rest. Now you say, well, wait a minute. I can be under the Word at home. You can. But let me ask you a question. If God intended us to just be on our own or our own spiritual dietitian, then why did God call people to feed the flock of God? You know, that mindset just doesn't wash with the Word of God. Now, should you be in the Word at home? Absolutely. But here's the thing, folks. When this shepherd would lead these sheep, he would lead them to a place, these green pastures, it said, and I'll describe what that is in just a moment, but he would lead them to a place where they could feed and they could find rest. Because he understood that if they didn't feed, they wouldn't rest. Because you're going to find out in a minute when we get to it that sheep will not lay down if they're hungry. They just won't. And so he has to lead them to a place. Now, here's the thing. And you're gonna discover this next week when we do lead beside the still water. It says lead, not drive. God will not drive us to the Word. He leads us. You say, well, why don't he drive? If he knows that's what the only way we can enter into rest through Christ Jesus, why don't he drive us there? Because here's the thing. God will not overcome your volitional will to obey him. And so if the Spirit of God has given you and I his Spirit, who gives us a desire for truth, then why would he have to drive somebody that already has a desire for it? That's the reason I say, you find people that don't want to put themselves under the Word, I'll give you somebody that needs to check up and see if they even have the desire. If they don't have the desire and the desire comes from the Holy Spirit, then guess what it may say about it? Y'all with me? I mean, listen, this is key for us to understand. Because you will not find rest unless you find the pastures of the Word of God to be green for your life. You won't find rest any other way. Okay? Now, let's look at a second component. Not only does he lead me, he lets me. Now, you say, what do you mean he lets me? Well, look at verse 2. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Now, when we read that in English, what do we think about? Oh, he forces me to lie down. I mean, in other words, he'll walk up to you and just take the legs out from under you, make you lie down. That's not what the word is. The Hebrew word here is the word that is translated this way. And here's how it's translated in the Hebrew. It says that he lets me lie down. Now you say, preacher, I don't understand. What do you mean by that? Well, here's the thing. What the shepherd does, what our shepherd does, what a shepherd to the sheep does, is he puts the sheep in a position, in a place, and he removes everything that needs to be removed. He prepares everything that needs to be prepared, that they would now be able to rest, and nothing would interfere with their rest. Therefore, he gives them everything they need to be able to rest. So therefore, because he removes and he prepares, who made the way that they could rest? And that's the picture we have here, that the shepherd has done all the preparation, done all the removing, and the sheep are at comfort, the sheep are content, the sheep are peaceful, and now they can rest. Why? Because of everything the shepherd done. Everything the shepherd done. Now that we have been able and permitted to rest. Now, this word pasture here. Oh, it's a mighty word. It's a Hebrew word that means this. The word is rendered this way: dwellings and habitations. So what does it mean? Well, listen, here's what it means. That he leads me to green pastures. Meaning what? He leads you and I to a place of not just a moment of rest, but a dwelling of rest or a habitation of rest. In other words, he leads us to a place that we can experience continual rest. Because why? We inhabit him. He inhabits us. He dwells in us, and we dwell where? In him. And therefore, what he does is he brings us to a place that the sphere of your life can be a place of rest. It can be a place where you can find peace and you can find contentment in him being the shepherd because of all that the shepherd has done. And so he leads me. He lets me. But he loves me. You know, it's amazing to me. The love relationship I talked about this morning between the sheep for the shepherd. But on the contrary to that, there is the love relationship the shepherd has for his sheep. And if the shepherd loves his sheep, why would he not want what's best for his sheep? And what's best for his sheep is to be content, peaceful, and be able to rest in the green pastures. Now, you folks that have been to Israel with me, you'll be able to gravitate to this picture I'm about to paint. But most of the Bedouins, most of the shepherds over there, they live in the desert areas of Israel. In other words, the southern part of Israel, down near the Dead Sea, is where most of the Bedouins or the shepherds of today live. But there are a few green pastures along the way. But to get there, they have to travel literally through desert and sometimes around and on the sides of mountains to get there to those green pastures. And so therefore, as the shepherd leads his sheep through this rugged terrain to a place that they could lay down, a place that they could rest, a place that they could find contentment, and a place that they could feed, they have to be willing to yield themselves to the pathway the shepherd takes them. And why does he go to all that trouble? Because he loves them. Listen to what I'm about to say. There's nothing that brings the Lord greater joy than you and I being at rest in him. Nothing. Because everything God done through Christ was for what purpose? To bring us to a place of rest. How many agree? You can't rest with sin in your life. But Jesus took care of our sin.
Amen.
I mean, I could go on and on. And so everything God done, listen, I understand there's an eternal rest that comes when we get to heaven. And that's what we always want to focus on. But listen, folks, this psalm has nothing to do with what's coming in the future. This psalm has everything to do with what God wants to do right here and right now. And why do I have to wait till I get to heaven to be able to rest? So he leads me, he lets me, and he loves me. All right, now, I want you to see the third thing. The third thing is the strongholds to peaceful rest. So what are the things the shepherd has to remove that a sheep can truly rest in these green pastures? Well, there's four things. And these four things are essential for the shepherd to be able to do for his sheep. The first one is what I call the removal of fears. The removal of fear. How many of you agree if you have fear or worry in your life, how many agree you can't rest?
Right. Amen.
I mean, you just can't. Well, can I tell you, as I said this morning, sheep are timid, timid creatures. And it was so glorious. We have two people in our church that were shepherds at one time. Both comrades, James and Daryl. Well, Daryl came up to me after service this morning. He said to me, he said, "Preacher," he said, "I can identify because I've been one." And I said, "Well," I said, "Daryl, did I get it right?" "Yeah, because I want to know." He said, "Yeah." He said, "But listen, they'll never understand it unless you've done it." I said, "Give me an example." He said, when I would go out into the field with my sheep, he said, if they heard one loud noise or one noise that was annoying to them, immediately they would find me and run right where I am. Why? We talked about this morning. Because they find protection where? In the shepherd. And so the picture here is that the shepherd has to be of such that he removes the fear from the sheep. Because when the sheep are fearful, they won't lie down. They won't rest. And they won't eat. And they won't function correctly. And so how does a shepherd remove the fears from the sheep? Just his presence is all they need. It's just his presence. You say, well, does that work for me? Yes. You say, where do you find that at? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's found here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath given us, not will give us, has given us. What? The Spirit, not the Spirit of what? But of power and love and sound mind. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. He's given us the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Listen, folks, you and I don't have to walk in fear. Why? Because He lives in us, and He is our shepherd.
Amen.
And when we are resting in His presence, fear will fall by the wayside.
Right.
Love casts out what?
All fear.
Now, you say, well, how do you correspond that to us? Well, let me ask you a question. Do we all find ourselves having fears about the future? Finances? Family? I mean, I could go on and on and on. There's all kinds of things we can find to be fearful about. But here's the amazing thing about it. When we're at rest, when we are basking in the presence of the Lord, and He is everything to us. And He's the center of my focus. And He's the center of my attention. And He's the center of my affection. Then what I find is my focus becomes on Him and not on everything else. See, the reason we fear is because we get our focus on everything else. And we lose focus of who He is. I mean, listen, folks. There's people that stay gripped with fear. I mean, what if this happens? What if this happens? I mean, what if you do this and this happens? What if this happens? I mean, what if we don't do this and this don't happen? I mean, what if this? What if that? What if this? What if that? What if this? What if that? Hey, how about this? What if God? You can't rest and walk in fear. And so God's provided for you everything you need not to be gripped by fear, not to be strangled hold by fear. And so here's the glorious truth, that when we are resting in Him, we're not fearing, and when we're not fearing, we're resting. Let me give you the proof text for this. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, speaking of Israel going into the promised land. And God paints a picture of Christ being our Canaan. Now, For you new folks, let me just remind you. Canaan's not heaven. Canaan is Christ here and now. And we find that in Hebrews 3, that Christ Jesus is this rest. And the rest in Hebrews 3 is talking about Canaan. But it says that Christ is our rest. Therefore, Canaan is Christ. And so it gives us a picture here of Israel. And these two verses, listen to what they say. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? But them that believe not, so we see that they could not enter because of what? Now you say, wait a minute, what's that got to do with fear? Why didn't they believe God? Well, you remember what happened. Remember Deuteronomy 1? They sent spies into the land. Y'all remember this? They sent spies into the land. They said, hey, let's see if we can find out what it's like. Oh, the spies came back and they said, whoo, let me tell you something. It's everything God said it was. Whoo, it's glory. Land flowing with milk and honey. But folks, we got a problem. As a matter of fact, we need to convene a Baptist business meeting. and we need to vote on this thing. You see, before you vote, you need to know there's walled cities. There's giants in the land. And they voted 10-2 not to go. Save Joshua and Caleb. Am I telling the truth? Say amen.
Amen.
So what caused their unbelief? Fear. Because what they've done is they got their eyes on the walled cities and they got their eyes on the giants in the land and they forgot that, hey, God said, I'll go before you. I've won it before you ever go. It's your land. Everywhere the sole of your foot can touch, I've already given it to you. But when you get your eyes on everything else, that's what happens with sheep. They hear a sound or they see a motion in the brushes next to the field. And all of a sudden, fear grips them. And they run to their shepherd. And when they run to their shepherd, they're able to find peace and rest. Why? Because not of who they are, but who the shepherd is for them. And so, folks, listen. When you got fear, you've got your eyes off of him. So right there, you park. And you do an adjustment. And you start focusing back on who he is. And love casts out all fear. Y'all say amen?
Amen.
All right. So this is primary. So the removal of fears. That's one of the strongholds of peaceful rest. Let me give you the second one, the removal of friction. Say, what do you mean friction? Well, in a flock, you're not going to believe it. Sometimes there arises rivalries or contentions among the sheep into dominating them. And here's what will happen. When that friction begins, all of a sudden what happens is a sheep, they won't lay down because that tension won't allow them to lay down. They stand on their feet to defend their ground. And here's what they do. Here's how they settle their disputes. They headbutt each other. They literally bow their heads and boom, right into each other. And there's that tension that goes on. Friction. So what's a shepherd have to do? Well, when he sees it, he steps in the middle of it. And when he steps in the middle of it, guess what? The sheep have learned to trust him. The sheep have learned to surrender to him. And all of a sudden, the sheep will dissipate and he'll separate them. And all of a sudden, they'll go from that friction to now peaceful rest. Now, how does that correspond to us? Listen to what I'm about to say. I believe this to be true. That other than sin itself, and by the way, unforgiveness is sin. But unforgiveness causes more people to not be able to rest in the Lord than any other thing you're going to find. Unforgiveness is a tool in Satan's hands. Because when I am not a forgiving person, then I'm not walking in grace that God gave me. Let me ask you a question. Is there anything that anybody in this world could ever do to you that's worse than what you've done to him? Or aren't you glad he forgave you? Aren't you glad, knowing what you and I did to him, he took our place on the cross? See, the thing is, one of the marks of a true believer is they have a grace and forgiving heart. You say, why do? Because they've experienced it and they've been enabled with it. See, I don't believe a person can have a lifetime grudge or a lifetime resentment and be a child of God. You say, why? Because how can you have experienced his grace and forgiveness and not be willing to forgive someone else? Now, I'm not going to read these passages for time's sake, but Matthew 18, 21 through 35, here's the gist of it. You remember there was a servant that owed the king money? All right, and the king demanded the money, going to sell his wife, sell his livestock. King, I can't do this. I promise I'll pay you. I just can't do it right. Here's what the king said. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to forgive your debt. Then this same servant had somebody that owed him money. What did this servant do? Bible says, literally, he took him by the throat and demanded payment. Threw him in prison until he paid. Well, the king that forgave his debt found out about it and went to it. And this is one of the places we get that glorious statement. How many times shall we forgive? Seven times or 70 times what?
Seven.
And here's what it says. Now, don't miss it. The king says, you will be turned over to the tormentors. What do you mean, tormentors? Well, here's the reality. There's nothing that will torment your soul more than unforgiveness. Nothing. And you'll never find rest in Him who showed you forgiveness and grace if you're not willing to show the same to other people. I mean, we're talking about the Lord Jesus that hung there on the cross. And those that nailed Him to the cross, beat Him. Those that poured the beard out from Him. Those that plucked a crown of thorns upon His head. I mean, those that spat upon Him and mocked Him and jeered Him and rebuked Him and whipped Him and scourged Him. And here's the Lord Jesus hanging on that cross, dying in our place. And He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You don't tell me that you can be a Christian and hold a lifetime resentment and unforgiveness towards somebody else. Because if that same Jesus lives in you, He won't let you live that way forever. He won't. And so a shepherd has to resolve these frictions. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 through 4. Fulfill ye my joy, Paul said, writing to the church of Philippi who had divisions among them. Fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, let me ask you a question before I read the rest of it. You ever get in an argument with your spouse? Now, y'all be truthful. You ever get in arguments with your spouse? All right? What's usually the gist of the argument? You're going to prove that you're, and you're going to prove that they're, and they're going to prove that you're, and that they're going to prove that they're. Do you agree with that? And it don't matter if you're right or wrong. You're just going to prove it. Y'all say amen. All right? So what does that say about it? There's something about us. Got to stand our ground. Stand up for our rights. Well, I got news for you. When God saved you, you lost all your rights. So here's what Paul said to the church of Philippi. Fulfill you my joy. Be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now watch this. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, listen, let each esteem others better than them what? Wow. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of what? Can I tell you how God lays out our life? Him first. Do you agree with that? Say amen. How many agree? He's to be supreme. Others second. You third. But how many times do we flip the order? Y'all with me? You see, when I'm not forgiven, or when I hold a grudge, here's what I'm saying. I'm first. And I need you to forgive me. And she said, I still have a conviction. I cannot teach this curriculum, but I want you to understand that I talked to you in an inappropriate manner, and I want you to forgive me. The principal looked at her and said, Are you serious? And the lady said, yes, I am. And the lady went to her classroom. About 2 hours later, the principal walked down to her classroom. And when the principal walked down to her classroom, the principal walked in her classroom and said, I need to talk to you. Brought her out in the hall in the middle of class. And here's what she said. She said, thank you. She said, I need to apologize to you, not you to me. Are y'all hearing me? Friction. Well, good. Not. I got to go. All right. Can y'all listen quick? Say amen. Thirdly, the removal of flies. You say, what do you mean by flies? Frank asked me before service, is that a typo or do you really mean that? I said, I really mean it. You say, what do you mean? Well, when sheep are in a field, flies begin to annoy them. And when they do, here's what happened. A sheep will take his feet and he'll stomp them. And he'll take his head and he'll do this all the time. How many agree? If you're doing this, you can't rest. Y'all say amen. So here's what a shepherd did. We'll get into this later. I'm not going to get into it because it's later on in the song. But he'll take oil and he'll anoint their heads. And it's almost like a repellent from flies. And then the sheep can lay down and rest. Now, what's the corresponding truth to that? Well, listen. What is the thing that is the most pesky in your life? Sin and the things of the world. And when you and I are giving ourselves to sin and the things of the world, I want to tell you something. You can't rest. You can't rest in those things. And so there has to be this moment which the cares of the world are dealt with and you allow the Lord to deal with them in your life. And when you allow the Lord to deal with them in your life, the oil pitcher is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God begins to give you victory over that in your life. You're able to rest. Now, if my rest is based upon my fellowship with Him and He's holy, how many agree if I have sin in my life, I can't have proper fellowship with Him? So if my rest is based upon my fellowship with Him and I have sin in my life, how can I rest? These are the things. That's the reason I say repentance is a day-by-day, moment-by-moment thing. Fourthly, the removal of famine. What do you mean? A sheep will not lay down when they're hungry. So therefore, the shepherd has to bring them to a place where they can feed and they can feed and be full. And when they're full, they can lay down and rest. Let me tell you something, folks. Can you rest? Now, I'm not saying answer this from an educational perspective. I'm talking about from an experiential perspective. In your life, I want you to answer this in your own heart. On a day-by-day basis, can you go without giving yourself to the Word of God and still be at rest? If you can, that's a problem. Because this is your food. And matter of fact, I would say it this way. If you've not given yourself to the Word of God and you're truly saved, you will be miserable. You will. And so these things, you have to allow your shepherd to remove from your life fears, friction, flies, and famine. Lastly, the surrender to peaceful rest. There's two things here, the work of grace and the willingness of grace. Now you say, what do you mean the work of grace? Well, as I said, rest is a person, the Lord Jesus, and only God through His grace can work rest in your life. This is a total work in which God's got to work in you. But the only way He'll work it in you is you've got to be willing to give yourself to what He does. If you're not willing to give yourself to what He does, then you're not ever going to find rest. Let me give you one verse in closing. Hebrews 4, verse 9 and 10. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that entered into His rest. Now watch this. Are y'all listening? Say amen. He that entered into His rest, he also has ceased from his own what? Wow. As God did from His. See, here's our mindset. if I do this, God will be pleased and I can rest. Oh, no, 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 no. You quit. You let Him. You surrender, submit, yield. And you let God work in you. And when God works in you, you find rest. Because then, listen, you're not having to figure out your life. He's already figured it out for you. You're just getting in on what He wants to do.
Right.
You with me? And you're able to rest. Let me ask you a question. How many times have you had to make a difficult decision? And when you have to make a difficult decision, you go back and you war back and forth. Back and forth, back and forth. Well, and then boy, you get all spiritual. You get the positive and negatives going. Y'all with me? Say amen. Well, listen, here's the positive. Here's the negative. Boy, I tell you, I just don't know. They're about equal. Well, the positives outweigh the negatives a little bit. But what if I'm wrong? Is this resonating with any of us? Or how about this? God, I'm not going to do anything until You show me. You'll say amen. You say, how will He show me? Peace and rest. In other words, if I'm stepping out in the will of God, when I take that first step into the will of God, guess what's going to happen? Peace. If I step out in the will of the flesh, guess what's going to happen? Conviction. And so God works grace in you and works grace through you that you can rest in Him. Father, I thank You and I praise You today for Your truth, for Your word, for a peace that passes all understanding, a rest that's found in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, to thank You today that we don't have to be like sheep that are scared at every sound or every circumstance or every moment that something happens that we don't understand or we can't figure out. But Father, we can be at rest. Even though we may not like it, Father, we know that You are in control of it and that You're sufficient in it. And I can be lacking of nothing because You're my shepherd. And because You're my shepherd, You have led me and You let me and You love me and You want me to rest. And You've provided everything. You've prepared the way. You've removed all the stumbling blocks that we can truly rest in You. And so, Father, I pray today. I'm sure there's folks in here tonight. Father, going through things that I can't even imagine. I can't even begin to identify with. But Father, I thank You today that when we're Yours, You by Your grace can work this rest in our lives. And You can get our minds off of things or circumstances, and You can get our minds on You, the shepherd. And when we see You as our shepherd, when we're fearful, we run to You. When there's friction, You work in us to forgive. When we're hungry, we find that You're the living Word and You're the incarnate Word. So, Father, in everything, we find that You're sufficient. So, Father, I pray tonight we'd rest in who You are and in what You've given us. Let us rest.